very familiar scriptures. Jesus speaking here says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to read that line again. Everybody read that out loud with me like you mean it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Heavenly Father, we love you. Oh, how we thank you for your presence that is with us today, Lord, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we just pray that for the next few minutes that you would touch your servant, use me to be your mouthpiece. Speak to our hearts this day, God. You know every person that has walked through these doors where they stand with you. You know those that are watching where they stand with you today. And I pray that today, God, if there be those here that or those that are watching that may be lost, God, I pray that they would realize the importance of the time that we are living in. That, God, that they would see that Jesus is the answer to every problem in their life. God, I pray today, Lord, minister, speak, touch, strengthen and change, and encourage by your word and by your spirit. And Father, we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to minister this morning for the next few minutes on a thought that God laid on my heart for this service this Sunday morning, entitled The Purpose of God's Church. The purpose of God's church. I want us to, first of all, to look at the definition of God's church. It is the body of Christ. All those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for and through salvation by the shedding of his blood, his death, and his resurrection. The word church in the English Bible comes from the word ecclesia. This word is the Greek words, two words, kaleo, which means to call, with the prefix ex, which means out, which comes to God's church is the called out. Can I tell you and me today that there is not another church like God's church? Oh, there are a lot of churches, but they're not God's church. The last time that I heard, there were over 1,500 recognized, organized church denominations or affiliations in our nation. Some of those, many of those, are cults. How do you know, Pastor? Because if the church is not about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if it's not about the virgin birth, if it's not about his death and his resurrection, it's a cult. You say, well, that's been awful hard. But it's the truth according to God's word. I want us to know that today you can't be saved by Buddha. I want you to know that today you can't be saved by Muhammad. You can't be saved by Confucius or any other type of God. There's only one living God, and his name is Jesus Christ the Son. Amen? He's the only one that lost his life, was buried, but was resurrected. He's the only one that today that is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each and every one of us in this house this morning. He is the only one that you can call upon any time of the day and he can speak to you right where you are at. He's an omnipresent God. He's a God that today that you can be on the other side of the country, but he's still God. You can be in another country, but he's still God. Amen? That's the type of God that we serve. When we look at his church, the church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that Jesus had spoken to the people and said, "Go ye into Jerusalem and tarry ye there until you be endued with power from up on high." We read that was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but then we go into Acts chapter 2 and we begin to see the birth of God's church, because the Bible says, "And they were gathered together in the upper room. And suddenly there came from heaven as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, with tongues of fire sitting upon each of them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance." But I'm glad to know that today that God's church wasn't contained in the upper room. That was just the birthing place. Because then we begin to see that they left the upper room. And on into the book of Acts, we began to see that God's church became not just a church in name, but it became a church in action. Can I tell us today, God didn't call his church to be a stagnant church. God didn't call his church to be a dead church. God didn't call his church to be a church that is just sitting around waiting for thunder and lightning to hit. But God called his church to be his church. And his church is a church that is a church of action. Many times we look today and we look at different names that are affiliated with church, even in the Christian church world today. You got the Baptist, you got the Methodist, you got the Presbyterian, you got the Church of God, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Holiness, and all other different kinds of churches mixed in there in the Christian church. But there's things in all of those that many times that we have doctrinal guidelines that not every church denomination agrees with. But there's one thing that the Christian church must always believe and agree in. What's that, Pastor Greg? That he was the virgin born of Mary. Secondly, he gave his life that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thirdly, he was buried, but he rose again. And I get really excited about this one. And he's coming again. Amen. You say, "Well, why is that so exciting?" Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this old world we live in. I'm tired of all the garbage that goes on and situations that we all face. And we all face situations. We all face issues. We all face something that is always the enemy is going to try to use to tear us down. But I've got good news for us today. I don't have to wait for the battle to be won. The war has already been won. It was won 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. It was there that Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was torn in two, signifying that we could come boldly boldly, the Bible says, into the throne room of God. I'm glad today to know that if I don't know what to do, that I can come boldly into the throne room of God, and I can begin to call on the name of the Lord, and God Almighty will come down and touch us. I'm glad to know that today. The church, God's church, is an alive church. It's not a dead church. It's an alive church. So if that means that we're an alive church, that means that our spiritual heart is pumping. Are you following me today? That means that if we're in a live church, that spiritual blood is flowing. Amen? If we're in a live church, it means that rigor mortis is not evidence in our body. Amen? Rigor mortis means that body is dead, stiff. Decomp begins to set in. But let me tell you about God's church. When God's church is alive, God's church, since it doesn't have rigor mortis, can move. Because it's not rigor mortis, but it's alive, Tim, it can speak. Because that it is not rigor mortis that is holding it, it means that we can get up and walk. It means that we can minister. It means that we can tell people about the love of God. So you say, well, Pastor, what's God's purpose in our life for His church? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, the church is to be a people of godly love. Let me tell you where the devil fights God's church the most. Right there. We get to the place that people believe that their gifts and calling is to tear down others. They're not a part of God's church. God's church loves people. It goes beyond skin color. It goes beyond financial status. It goes beyond the type of clothes they wear. It goes beyond whether they got makeup on or they don't have makeup on. It goes beyond whether they're wearing jewelry or if they're not wearing jewelry. It goes beyond of what the name is on the sign outside or hanging inside. It's about knowing that it is a church that loves people because God loves people. Well, how can God love those people? Well, then how did God love you and me? Can I tell you, I was an ornery old... Let me just put it the way in the best of one of my mentors, Festus Hagen. I was an ornery old scudder. Amen? I was an ornery old scalawag. But when Jesus came into my heart, everything changed. Amen. I begin to love people. You mean people don't make you mad? Oh, yeah, they make me mad. But instead of now, I have to pray for them. No, let me rephrase that. I choose to pray for them. Amen. Because we all have faults. If you're here today and you said, I don't have no faults, I'm giving an altar call here in a little while, but you don't have to wait until then. You can repent right now. We all have faults. Young people and adults alike, we all have faults. You will never find a perfect individual in this world. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says we're to be perfect. The Bible says you strive for perfection. We will never, ever be perfect because there's always something that is coming against us There is always a way the enemy is going to try to attack. There are going to be ways that the enemy is going to get us to fall, but when we fall, we have an advocate. We have a person by the name of Jesus that is pleading our case to the Heavenly Father. And when we get to the place that we think that we have made it, we need to check ourselves. We need to say, God, something must be wrong because I think that I'm at a place of perfection. When everybody talks good about you, come here, Rocky. Pat you on the back. Says, you're the best thing than peanut butter and jelly that came along. I love peanut butter and jelly. You can't replace anything for a good old peanut butter and jelly sandwich unless it's peanut butter and strawberry jams. What are you saying, Pastor? When everybody talks good, you need to check yourself. Because what happens is we begin to get to the place that the enemy will use that to get us to the place that we will begin to have an ego. And we will get to the place that we simply say, well, I'm perfect. But there's nobody perfect. There was only one, and they hung him on a cross. But because of his love, we are to have godly love. What does that mean, Pastor Greg? Well, that means that we welcome everybody that comes through the doors. Well, they don't believe the way we believe. Doesn't matter. You welcome them in the door. Well, they don't smell good. You love them anyway, and you invite them in. I remember we were pastoring a small church on a Sunday night. This young man and this young lady walked up the ramp of the church, walked in the door. He had long hair, earrings, tattoos, big leather jacket on. Now, this was in the dead of summer. Then here came his girlfriend with him, tattoos. She didn't look the part of the church, and I was standing, and I just started watching people. I thought, I want to see how they react. You had some that would go and welcome them. You had others that would kind of just sit back and, what are they here for? But I want you to know that night they gave their heart to the Lord. Amen. They became a part of that church. You see, who is it to say what people are to look like? Do you realize, have you really looked at the 12 disciples? They weren't the typical church people. Every one of them had a background. Every one of them was people that a lot of people didn't love. Some of them were ornery people. But you know what? God looked at them and said, but they're the ones that I'm going to choose to follow me. That's what the word disciple means, a follower of Christ. And they reached out wherever Jesus went. Did you ever notice that wherever Jesus went, he reached out? He loved people. He was for the down and outer. He was for that one that was an underdog in society. Can I tell you, I was an underdog in society at one time. What do you mean? I was a sinner. Amen. I looked at many times of how people would act and respond around me. Those that called themselves Christians, some of them knew my background. Some of them knew where I lived. And some of them responded to me in a different way that was not really pleasing to God. But thank God there was a remnant. There was a group. I said, Greg, God loves you. He doesn't care what you've done. He He loves you. He died for you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. And thank God one day, one of those individuals invited me to a Sunday night service. And I came that Sunday night and I sat on a back pew and with the preacher preaching, I felt the convicting drawing power of the Holy Spirit speaking to me and ministering to me. And I came and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I went home and I told my family, I got saved. You'll never last. That was the words. You'll never last. And what I found out was this. Some of your worst skeptics, some of the worst people to support you will be those that are the closest to you. Family members. Sometimes you're going to have family members that are not going to support you. So what do, Pastor? You love them. You love them. With a godly love. That's the purpose of the church. I'm saying that to say this. The church is a family. Amen? We may not be of the same earthly blood, but if we are truly the church, we are born again, we are family. We really do have the same blood, but it's the blood of Jesus that's flowing through us. So what's that mean, Pastor Greg? It means there's going to be times we're not going to agree on everything. There's going to be times that you're going to get irritated with me. There's going to be times I'm going to get irritated with you. But you know what? That's what families do. Amen? But what do? They still love. And they still go on. But now that's the church. But what about the sinner? What about the atheist? What about the Muslim? What about that one that just keeps kicking against the church? I want to tell us, and the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this, just when I said that. One of the greatest people in the church in the Bible started out kicking against the church. His name was Saul, who got saved, got anointed by God and became known as Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, who went out and got to the place that he brought revival about anywhere that he went. Paul is the one that we talk about. Paul is the one that we teach about. But Paul was one that would prick a kick against the pricks of the church, they said. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we've got to love people. The purpose of the church, number one, is to love people. We may not always agree, but we love people. Amen? Yes, amen. Secondly, the second purpose of God's church is we are to be a people of hope. There are people here today. There are people that are watching that are saying simply these words, I wish I had some hope. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you today, your hope is in Jesus. Your hope is in God. There are times that we face situations in our life. There are times that sickness comes our way. There are times that financial problems come our way. There are times that it feels like our world is crumbling and falling apart around us. And we just simply say, I wish I had some type of hope. His name is Jesus. He's one that will stick closer to you than a brother. He's one that today that said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you to the very end. He's one that in the midnight hour that you can call upon and he's there. He's one that when you go through the deepest, darkest valley that there is, that you find out he's the lily of the valley and the bride and the morning star. He is your hope this morning. He is the one that will come to you when it seems like it is so dark, but he's the light at the end of the darkness. When you look out and it looks so dark, but you feel the touch of God and you hear God's Spirit speaking, saying, keep going. Keep going. Have you ever been on a long, long journey and you was just longing to get home? And you just kept saying, I just can't wait till I see the lights of home. And friend, there have been times that I've been driving on interstates for hours, and there have been times that I've been longing to see those lights. But then out through the horizon, I can just see, even though I'm many, many miles away, I can start to begin to see a light. It might be dim, but I see it. Somebody needs to know today, you may just be seeing a light. It might be just be so dim, but I'm here to tell you, God just keeps saying, but yet keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. And the more that you keep pressing on, and the more that you keep going, you get closer, and that light gets brighter, and it gets brighter. To the next thing you know, that light is shining and the darkness is behind you. Somebody needs to know today that it might be dark, it might be dreary, but joy will come in the morning. Amen. God is your hope this day. Give Him praise in the house. The third purpose of God's church, godly love, hope, but thirdly, restoration. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, more and more I see people falling by the wayside. I'm going to say this. We got too many people in the church world today that is seeking people and seeking signs and seeking wonders instead of seeking God. And what happens when we get to where we are doing that? We get confused. Somebody will come along with something that sounds so good, and if we're not careful, we will fall into the trap. Can I tell you, a cult will offer you just a little bit of the Word of God to entice you. And then they will begin to sow false doctrine into you. But God's word said, my sheep know my voice and will follow no other. It's a time that we are seeing people that are doing this, seeking people, seeking signs, seeking wonders, when the Bible says that's not scriptural. The Bible says that signs and wonders will follow the believers. Believers are not to follow the signs and the wonders, but signs and wonders will follow the believer. Amen? Well, what about people? Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. Amen? Do you realize that today that there have been some great men and women of God standing behind pulpits, teaching and preaching. Then they got caught up in false doctrine themselves, and they got to the place where they thought they was above anybody else. One name that comes to my mind, I'm wanting to say I was a freshman. May have been a sophomore, but I believe I was a freshman in high school. And a minister by the name of Jim Jones started out in the United States, had a church. Church was growing. And then he left the United States and went to other countries. And there, in a big field one day, hundreds of people began to believe and gave their life to him by drinking poison because he said, I'm the Messiah. You say, well, that doesn't happen now. Oh, really? Well, the Bible says that in the last days that they will come saying, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. But the Bible says, don't believe them. Don't follow them. For as the sun rises from the east and the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. I believe that today that the spirit of the Antichrist is upon the face of this earth. I'll even go a step further. I believe the Antichrist hasn't been revealed, but I believe he is on the face of this earth. And he's leading people, his spirit, astray, and people are falling by the wayside. So, Pastor Greg, by you saying all that, that doesn't make me feel good. So what's that got to do with the purpose of God's church? We've got to restore. But there's one way that we restore people. It's not by putting our heel on them and grinding them down. It's not by taking a spiritual ball bat and beating them down. But the Bible says to restore people with a spirit of meekness. Let's consider yourself. You see, friend, there are people today that they have fallen short. And they're looking for people that will just reach out to them with love and with compassion and say, listen, you don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay that way. Take my hand. Let me lift you up. Let me dust you off. Here, take a drink of water. Refresh yourself. Here, eat this. Take this. In other words, we are to love people. We are to restore them with meekness. Let me ask us this morning. How many of you, without even a showing of hands, you remember when you have fallen short of what God expected? You remember how miserable you and I felt? We didn't need anybody to come and drive us down any further. What we needed was just somebody to come and say, hey, I love you. I love you. And we all fall short. But just hold on. We're going to get through this together. Amen? I'm going to tell us something. Andy Brashear did not originate that saying. God's church originated that thousands of years ago. Come on, we're going to get through this together. Right. Amen? Every time that we fall short, come on, pick yourself up. We're going to get through this together. I love seeing some of those relay races or some of those 5Ks and all those marathons, and people start out and they're running. They're all full of zeal. They're all full of enthusiasm. They're all pumped up. About midway, their zeal starts dying out some. Their enthusiasm is not as what it was at the beginning. Their running begins to slow down. Getting closer to the end of the finish line, some of them start to falter. Some of them start to sway. Some of them are just looking for a drink of water. Some of them are just looking for somebody that they know that are rooting them on. And I've seen many times in that they fall. But you know what I love? Is when I see some other runner come by. Or I see a family member that's not even in the race. Pick them up. Say, come on. We're going to do this together. And they keep going. And they keep going. Till they cross that finish line. Oh, it might have been hours after the last person came in. The race officially is almost over with. They're just waiting for that last person to come through. And that was the one. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, there are some people in the church world today that they're swaying. They're looking for somebody that would just come by and would take them by the hand and say, come on, I'm with you. We're going to cross on over. We're going to get across that finish line. Pastor Greg, where's the finish line? Paul talked about it so plain and clear. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The race, the finish line is just in sight. But not only for me, he said, but for all those that loves the Lord. I'm telling you, there are people today that are looking for somebody that will come by and restore them. Somebody that will come by and will just pick them up and say, come on, we're going to get through this. The finish line is too close to call it quits now. Amen. It's not a time to throw in the towel. You got to keep going. You got to keep pressing on. And all along, the devil is trying to say, no, you got to give up. But God keeps saying, no, you got to keep pressing on. He said, you can't turn back. You can't look back. Nobody that puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. But he said, put your hand to the plow and keep pressing on. God's trying to speak to somebody in this house or somebody that is watching today. You're at the place where you're about to call it quits and give up, but God keeps saying, keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Somebody here today, you know somebody that is falling by the wayside, but God is saying, go to them, pick them up, restore them with the spirit of meekness, and let them know they can make it, and you're there for them. That's the purpose of God's church, to be a place of restoration, a place of reconciliation. Lastly, a place of healing. We often talk about healing and we think about the physical. There are so many people today that needs a spiritual healing touch. They have been hurt. They've been wounded. They've been left alone to die. Jesus is speaking to the church and he's saying simply this: be the good Samaritan. Pick them up. Love them. Let me pour my healing all into them. There are people today that they're losing their first love. I see it all the time in the church world. People that are losing their first love, they've got too so accustomed to the things of the world that they are looking and seeing things that are being brought into the church world today and being condoned that God's not in it. And they're getting confused because they're saying, well, we thought that was wrong, but now it's being allowed in the church. That doesn't make it right. God's word is a never-changing word. God's word is forever settled in heaven. If it was sin years ago, it's still sin today. God's never changed. Well, times have changed, Pastor, but God doesn't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people today are needing healing. People that will come and pour the oil, pick them up, pray God's healing over them. There are people that are in churches today that have carried wounds from many years ago, from where they were hurt by church members or was hurt by pastors or board members. They've carried those wounds for years. And they're wondering, why is it that I can't feel that peace in my heart, my life like I used to? It's because of the wounds they're carrying. You that are here today, you that are watching, I want you to hear this today. Those wounds, you have allowed a temporary bandage to be put on those wounds to cover them up, to say, if I do that, I'm hiding them. It's not going to affect me. But you know what? They're still affecting you. And every so often, the enemy comes and he rips off those bandages that you have put there to try to hide that spiritual wound. But when you rip off that spiritual bandage, it takes off that spiritual scab that has been on that wound that has never healed. You say, well, Pastor, how can I get through this? You got to take off the bandages. You got to take off everything that is there that is trying to hide that wound and those hurts. And you just got to say, God, heal me. Heal me. Heal those wounds. God, not from the outer inward, but God, rather, heal those wounds first of all inwardly. And then come out. You know where it starts on the inward part? Right there. If we were to all be honest today, we would all say there have been times that I have been hurt. And every time that I think I'm over it, it rises up again. But you know what? Until you allow God and you speak it and you say, God, heal me of those wounds. And you mean it from your heart. God will begin to heal those wounds, starting with the heart. To the next thing that you know, those that have hurt you, the next time that you see them, you can shake their hand, you can hug their neck, you can be praying for them, God. Help us to follow along on this journey to heaven together. That's the purpose of the church. It's not about a great music program. It's not about a wonderful messenger, whether it be male or female, that stands behind a pulpit or a lectern. It's not about the robed choirs or a praise team. It's not about having all the bells and the whistles and we push all the right buttons. You can have all of that and still miss the mark of what God's purpose for the church is. I don't know why God laid this message on my heart for this hour, but God knew there was people that would be here and there would be people that would be watching. It needs to know God's bigger than your problem. God's bigger than your situation you're going through. God is bigger than your adversary. And God wants every one of us to know this. It's finished. When he cried, "It is finished," 2,000 years ago, you know what that signified? Your victory, my victory, over every problem that comes our way. Only thing we've got to do is give it to him. Give it to him. Father, we love you today. Lord, I have felt you ministering to me and speaking to me as I have brought this message that, Lord God, you laid on my heart for this service. God, you knew who was going to be here. You knew who was going to be watching. You know who will be watching later. But I pray today, Lord God, that we would be the church, that we would fulfill the mission of the church that you have laid, not just for Moorhead Christway Church, but for your church worldwide. And I pray today, God, for those that are hurting. I pray for those that, Lord, that needs your healing touch. Whatever it is, whatever they're trying to cover up with temporary bandages, God, I pray today they would just pray and say, God, heal me. Heal my wounds. Heal my hurts. And God, your word says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God, do it today. I pray today, God, for every soul that is under the sound of my voice. If there are those that are here in this house, if there are those that are watching that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, that God, that this day they would give their heart to you. That they would just simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart. Come into my heart. Live in my heart. God, according to your word, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by me doing that today, I believe, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Father, thank you for your touch. Thank you for changing hearts. Thank you for strengthening. Thank you for encouraging people. I pray today, Lord God, that as we worship you with our giving, our gifts, that God, that you would just bless the giver. Bless these gifts that we bring before you this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Bring the tithe and your love gift unto the Lord this morning.